Blog Talk Radio.
That little extra part caught me. Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I would like to welcome everyone to ScaryCast Tuesday. We got an interesting show lined up. First of all, I would like to introduce my co-host, Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas. How you doing, Kyle?
Awesome. Made it just in time.
Yes, you did. We're so glad you're here. And our guest tonight is normally a co-host, but he's our guest tonight. Is the one and only Mad Monster Hunter Matt Delf from Ewing, Virginia. Nobody knows where that is, Matt. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You're right. Nobody does know where Ewing, Virginia is.
That's right. Are you anywhere near Marion, Virginia?
No. Marion is way farther up there. It's a couple hours away, actually. Where I'm at is population about 400 people, and it's the Cumberland Gap, right in the Cumberland Gap. So I've got Tennessee and Kentucky. 10 minutes I can be in either state, so it's in the mountains, out in the middle of nowhere.
All right, got you. I'm doing some interviews with a guy from Marion, Virginia, for an upcoming feature called, we'll leave it. We won't talk about it tonight. We'll talk about it later. No, we'll do it. It's called Growing Up Haunted. It's about kids, former kids, and families who have had hauntings as their kids have been growing up, and it's a lot of fun. And so it was suggested by somebody, and so we're doing it, and it's going to be great. So anyway, Matt, talk to us tonight. Tell us about, you're kind of a real-life monster hunter, kind of like some of us over here in Myrtle Beach. And so tell us, how did you get in the monster hunting business?
All right. Unlike most people, they were a fan of it, or they seen something that sparked their interest, so they decided to go out and venture into it. And I actually was a total skeptic. And I always tell everybody there's three different types of people. You got the skeptic, you got the believer, then you have the knower. And I went from skeptic to knower in a matter of probably less than 30 seconds. So I grew up in northern Indiana, and as most people know, my first encounter is what actually got me into this. I didn't choose it. This lifestyle chose me. It's the way I feel about it. It chose to bring me into the field to do the research. But so, like I said, I was total skeptic. Didn't believe in Bigfoot. If it did exist, it was somewhere out in the West, or up in Washington, or in the Himalaya Mountains, or something like that. But I always thought it was cool, the thought of it, but never expected it to be real life, actual beings out there like this. And so I was total skeptic, and my very first encounter, I'll kind of go over it pretty quickly here. We had heard different sounds and stuff and noises up in northern Indiana, and we lived on this dead-end gravel road, Sugar Creek right behind our house, and it ran into the Wabash River and the Tippecanoe River. They all ran together, and they called it River Junction. Well, the area around there, we were the last house on this dead-end gravel road, so we didn't have any close neighbors or anything. But our land had ran into this doctor's land, and he had hundreds of acres surrounding our area, and it was thick forest. It had apple orchards, had an old apple orchard, had old buildings, old barns. We had raspberry bushes, and we grew up pretty much like a farm lifestyle. We had raised hogs and chickens and stuff growing up, but we would always hear these strange screams, nasty smells, stuff like that. And at one point, my little sister and brother and a neighbor kid, he actually had to ride a dirt bike to get down to our house. That's how far away he was. And they had an experience out in the woods when my little sister was probably about 8 or 9, maybe 10, somewhere around there, that they claimed a monster chased them out of the woods. Of course, we kind of blew it off. We're like, yeah, whatever. They got in trouble because they were off our land. But they said they were chased out of the woods by this monster. And kind of funny story is that neighbor kid, I talked to him a couple of years ago and asked him if he remembered that. And he said he's never been back in the woods since. So it's definitely had an impact on him. But my whole thing was I'd heard the screams, nasty odors, dogs barking for no reason, finding long hair on fences, huge grass beds smashed down that had a nasty odor to them. But as we're programmed, that stuff, you know, you don't think Bigfoot. You're thinking, okay, a bunch of deer probably grouped together here in these spots. And I didn't know what the hair came from, though, because it was long. It was a lot longer than a deer, and it was on the top of a fence. And most predators and stuff will go under a fence if it's a dog or coyotes and stuff, they usually go under. But this was at the top. But the whole, it was in November, weekend right before Thanksgiving in 1996. I was 21, and I had been away from home for a while, and I'd go back to the old home place to deer hunt. So I went out and that afternoon, and it was just a normal day. You know, sunny. It was, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And it was a sunny day. I went out there, had my spot. I got out there about 2:30 in the afternoon. And up against this tree, I wasn't in tree stand or anything, and I was sitting right on deer trail. Well, the day had went, no activity. The birds, what was really weird was the woods was just quiet, dead quiet. You didn't hear birds, you didn't hear squirrels, nothing. It was just totally dead silent. So I thought that was odd to begin with, but I didn't think much about it. I was just interested in trying to get this deer. And so it starts getting dusk. I start loading up my stuff, and it's getting kind of starting to get really dark and in the canopy there. A little bit of sunlight barely shining through and little points. Well, I'm gathering my stuff up to go home. And I was going to write it off, you know, it's just a nice day out in the woods, and that was about it. But within the next 30 seconds, it changed my life completely. Started out, I had smelled this odor had come through the air, and I'd recognized it before. It was a nasty odor. It kind of smells like something musky, kind of like rotten hay, a nasty odor. And it had come through the air, and I was like, well, whatever that is, it's, you know, noticed that odor before, but never knew what it was, and still didn't think a whole lot about it. And then I heard a couple sticks break, so I'm watching the deer trail, and I'm thinking, all right, got a doe coming down here. And the closer it got, the more aggressive it got. But the whole time, my mind is fixed on, okay, now it's a buck chasing this doe. And as it got closer and more aggressive, trees were shaking, they were snapping, they were popping. And so I was like, okay, it's two bucks possibly fighting over this doe, you know, or she's putting up a fight. But as it got closer and I'm trying to fixate on the area, I could see the trees and stuff. You can hear them popping and snapping. I heard this scream, and I'd heard the scream before growing up, but it wasn't as aggressive like this. It was a high-pitched scream with a deep growl in it. You cannot mimic it. There's no way I can. It's impossible for me. And it cut right through you. So as the closer it got, the more aggressive it got, and the screams were even more aggressive. And then there was a little gap. I'm trying to focus in on this area that it's all coming from. There's a little about a 15-foot gap. It's less than 30 yards from me. And that's when I seen this upright figure. And as it went in between that clearing into the next set of trees, it was probably in between 6-7 foot tall. I could see just barely the outline completely. And it reminds you of like an orangutan. It had longer arms, but it was skinny. It was kind of slinky. And the sun had come through a couple pieces there of the canopy of the thing as it was setting. And the sun, I could see the sun hit the top and the side of the head. I could see long hair hanging. And I could see long hair on the shoulder and arms. And my first thought was, I'm looking for something on four legs. I'm like, what in the world is this? My mind had just totally went blank. I was scared, but I was confused. I was staring at something that's not supposed to exist. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I'm kind of freaked out at that moment. But I'm more confused than anything. And the fear kicked in when, as it got closer, as it came up closer, it let out that scream with that growl in it, and it hurled this stick at me, and it went end over end. It wasn't side to side. It was end over end, about the size of a baseball bat, and it went flying past my head. I mean, it had some force, and it let out that scream. And that's when I was like, holy cow, I don't know what this is. I got to get out of here. So I turn around and I start running. And as I'm running, I have to cross the creek. So I have to slow down to get down this little embankment to cross the creek. And my first thought is, this thing's going to snatch me up. I'm done for. So as I'm running to it and I'm starting to slow down to get down past that embankment, I turn around and pull up my gun in case I have to shoot, try and slow it down, do something, you know. And it wasn't there. I didn't see it right directly behind me. But as soon as I slowed down and turned around and pointed my gun looking, it let out that scream with that growl again. So I knew it noticed me, turn around so it could still see me. I just couldn't see it. And so, boom, that was enough for me. So I got out of there, went back, staying with a friend of mine at the time. I go in there and I sit down and I'm like, I go in, I'm kind of casual because the whole time, the whole drive back there and everything, it's about a 35-minute drive back to where I was staying at the time from there. And the whole time, my head couldn't wrap around what had just happened. I couldn't comprehend what I was looking at. And once I actually, I'm sorry.
No, I was just listening.
Oh, okay. So I get in there, and my friend, he's like, do you see anything? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what's wrong? I said, what do you mean? He said, something's wrong. I can tell you're not, you know, he could tell I was disturbed. And he goes, do you see anything? I said, yeah. And he's like, what'd you see? And I didn't know what to tell him. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, what do you mean you don't know? I said, I don't know. He said, was it a deer? Did you see a buck? I said, no. He said, well, what was it? I said, it sounds crazy, but I said, it's like a monster. He's like, no, you don't sound crazy. He goes, I've heard those screams. He said, I never want to say anything because he's been out there hunting with me before, and he would hear the screams. And he's like, no, you're not. I've heard that stuff. He said, I never want to say nothing. He said, because I didn't want to seem, you know, like a little scaredy cat or whatever. But he said, yeah, he said, that area freaks me out, dude. He says, I have no doubt you've probably seen something like that. And so after that, then it just set my whole mind. It put my mind, it switched from one channel to all these other channels. So I'm trying to decipher, you know, what was I looking at? So I'm trying to do more wildlife conservation. I start taking classes, learning how to track. I thought I knew everything in the woods, but apparently I didn't. And so I'm going through all this stuff. And I grew up in the woods. I grew up trapping. I was like 4 years old. My dad used to run a trap line, and he would use that for extra money for us because we grew up as just my dad working, my mom at home, and we had, you know, there was four of us, and he was using it for extra income to help with his job, you know, pay the bills and house payment and everything for us. So I started out real young helping him trap, and I would go out with him on the road. So I was familiar at early age of, you know, just the basic wildlife and, you know, the ways and hunting and stuff like that. I grew up hunting my whole life, fishing, but I couldn't wrap my head around what I had just encountered. So after I started taking these wildlife conservation courses, these college courses, then I had tracking, and I got to the point where, you know, I start looking up some cases. I'm trying, and at that time, 1996, it wasn't, you know, we didn't have the internet like it is today. We didn't have all the witness reports. If most people did see something, they wouldn't talk about it. You know, they kept it kind of quiet, that people would make a mockery of it. But after that, all the way up until, I think I'd went and people were like, it sounds like you've seen a Bigfoot or whatever, you know, my friend Chris and all them. So I started researching more into the whole Bigfoot. So this whole path that this journey has brought me on, it started out with that one crazy encounter. And, of course, it's opened up the rabbit hole because I've experienced all kinds of stuff now. But that was just the center. That was the starting point. That was the awakening to bring me into the lifestyle that I live now.
Wow, Matt, that's very, very interesting. Kyler, do you have any questions for Matt?
Well, I'm hoping I haven't asked this before because I've heard this story multiple times, but every time you tell it, it's like, I think the same exact thing, at least I feel like it. But have we talked to Robin about, like, I don't know, reaching it, see if she knows the Bigfoot that was following you that day?
She had actually, I think she told me it was a, I believe she told me it was a juvenile, and I was in its hunting area or something similar to that. Now, that was my first thought. Now that I go back and I look, and it wasn't on, okay, predators stay off, they take the high ground, and they're off the game trail. They do not walk the game trail. They will stalk the game trail. I was on one side of the game trail. This thing was on the other side of the game trail. So I don't know if it was mad because maybe I had spooked the deer going in there, or it was just mad that I was there doing the same thing. Don't know, but I believe she said that she thought it was a juvenile and that it was hunting, I believe, or something similar to that. I'm not real positive. I can't remember.
Okay. So you either just made it angry or it was just like, okay, you need to get out of here because I'm trying to eat.
Yeah, a territory thing, I believe.
Yeah,
but
okay,
I believe
sense.
It was. This whole journey into the whole monster hunting thing, it had to happen the way it did because if anybody knows me, they know I'm stubborn as hell. And if I seen it from a distance, I would have tried to rationalize it off. I would have tried to say, well, maybe it was just somebody, you know, I couldn't see it that well, or maybe it's just a person or something. But this thing, I mean, it was aggressive, and it come at me. And I physically seen the being. I didn't get to see the eyes, and I got mad at myself because I'm like, maybe if I would have waited another 10 seconds or 5 seconds, I could have seen this thing eye to eye. Because the way the sun was setting, I could just see the back part of the silhouette, and I could see the long hair on the side of the head and on the shoulder and arm, but I couldn't see the actual eyes or the face. So I was mad at myself for not at least looking into this thing's eyes, and it kind of put a chip on my shoulder. So now when I go out and some of my friends and stuff, they'll tell you I kind of get crazy at times, you know, because I'm wanting to see this thing. I've already gone over the initial shock of something like this being real. I've already experienced that, so I know it's real. I know stuff that's out there now. and so it don't spook me whenever we have activity. Now, we go out there with a lot of other people, and all of a sudden their first reaction is like, you can tell right then, you know, they may say they believe or they've seen something, but I can tell first thing, I can see the fear in their eyes and their look like, holy cow, this thing is real. It's really happening. You can tell, you know, the shock that, but I've already overcame that. But I can tell it, what's helped me, though, also, is with this research and speaking at these conferences and stuff, and like with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference coming up, whenever I do these talks, I've noticed people open up. They're like, you know, they can get that PTSD. They can get that off their shoulders. They can tell somebody without being ridiculed or mocked. And because anybody knows me, they know I'm not trying to prove it to the world that these things are out there or anything. I need answers for myself. The research,
right.
I need to know what this stuff is. I don't care who believes or who doesn't. You know, I know what's real and what isn't, and I know what I've experienced. So it helps. I can tell when somebody is really had a real life encounter with something because it just changes you. Your whole perception of the world changes. And so ever since then, of course, like I said, you know, it started out with Bigfoot. Now it's all kinds of crazy different monsters out of, you know, lizard man, werewolves, dog men, vampires, you name it. I'm researching it now.
Yeah, I really hope that curiosity of yours doesn't kill you, because even if you said, like, what you said, 5 minutes or 5 seconds that you would have waited, hey, who knows, dude, you probably wouldn't be here if you did wait.
That's very true.
That's funny.
That is very true.
They say curiosity killed the cat. Well, it might kill somebody else.
Exactly.
Yep. I mean, you know, now I look at it, everybody's like, aren't you? If it kills me, it kills me, because this has taken over my life. You know, it's. I just need to know now. I need answers. But the farther I go down this whole journey, like I said, I've been researching since 1996. It's opened up so many different paths now, so many different avenues of different stuff. You know, I'm getting all kinds of reports. I get crazy reports, different stuff. But if it kills me during this, I guess that was the way I was supposed to go. Maybe I'll find out something before I do die. But always know, I'm not suicidal, so if I ever come up missing, they say, oh, he committed suicide, it wasn't me, okay?
Yeah, that's a lie. Okay, so then you said you were with your brother or your friend. Which one?
It was my friend. Yeah, it was my buddy, one of my best friends up in Indiana.
He said that he had seen and heard it before, and he just didn't want to tell anybody. Have you talked to him about it since?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He seen it, or he didn't see it. He didn't have the visual, but we had heard the screams, because he used to hunt with me out there quite a bit. And we'd hear the screams, with that nasty odor would come through the air. I mean, he experienced, but he just never wanted to say nothing. He didn't want to sound like a chicken or a scaredy cat and front of me, because of course we're all that testosterone when you're in your early 20s and teenage years, you know. He didn't want to mention anything, but then after I told him and he'd seen, you know, he's like, yeah. He said, I've never wanted to say nothing, but you know, all those screams we'd hear and stuff, he said, that's terrifying, dude. He said, I'm scared, you know. And so of course he's a believer. He's not seen anything, but he don't go out like I do either. He's,
I was going to say, did he go out with you ever after that? But
no,
I guess
no,
not.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't go back out with me. And what's interesting is that area right there. Okay, whenever you have these weird, high, strange event areas and stuff with activity, it seems like you've always got a wildlife preserve nearby. Or they've got they're wanting to do something with it, like Land Between the Lakes. They force everybody out of their homes there. what is that place in Ohio? Helltown, Ohio. And this was in the 90s when I was still in high school. The government was trying to force everybody from that area that I lived at to make it into a lake. They was wanting to flood it, make it into a lake. And the, you know, the laws had changed since the 60s and 70s and stuff, so this was in the 90s. So the people in the county there, they had fought it and held them off. And to this day, so then they went and built a four-lane through that area. But to this day, they're still trying to make it into a rock quarry. And they put a wildlife preserve right next to it. So all your key, it's like they know about it. All this, you know, kind of craziness in the cryptid world. But yet, of course, they won't admit it. But they are hell-bent on making that area something else other than it being the wilderness it was when I was growing up. Which
yeah, and,
makes no sense.
And, you know, we talked to Elijah Henderson some about the land between the lakes, and it is just terrifying up there. I mean, it's amazing that they flooded that and they got it in the state that it is, and then it seems to have been flooded itself with cryptids, don't you think?
Yeah, I've actually been up there with Elijah and them, and I've been what's interesting about that area was to camp in there, we didn't have to you had to get a permit. So we got a camping permit. They allow hunting in certain areas only there. But that whole area, like, they had forced people. So they still got old homes there. They've got old cemeteries there, old building structures. But when I was there, what was interesting was when you go camping, normally your national parks or something, you'll tell them, hey, they want to know where you're going to be camping at and to sign in or whatever. But they didn't care where we camped at, and they didn't even want us to sign in, which was very odd, because you got a lot of missing people reports up around that area, stuff like that. But was with Jay Bradley. He's a professional fishing guide out of Pigeon Forge in Sevierville, and that's what he does for a living. He also researches, and you know, we're sitting there and we're talking. We're like, that's kind of odd, you know, why don't they want, you know, you to sign in? And I'm like, well, that means there's no documentation of us even being here this weekend, you know. So if we come up missing or anything, it's not on the park. Exactly.
If you're missing, you're missing. And, we don't have any record of that. That's what they can say.
Exactly.
Wow.
That same week also, what's funny is, okay, they said it was wild hogs in that area, or they had a problem with wild boars there. So normally you'd set up, like the Smoky Mountains, they set up hog traps to catch these things. And you can catch a bunch of them all at once in these hog traps. They didn't have hog traps. They were hunting these things at night from a helicopter with a sniper that week that I was there, which I thought was very, very odd.
Really?
And, why would they waste that kind of money on the fuel, the person trying to sniper these things at nighttime from
a
helicopter?
What did they say they were doing?
Hunting hogs.
Why would you hunt a hog in a helicopter? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they do in Texas a lot, but in that area, that small of an area, you know, you got water around. Them hogs ain't going to go too far with all that lake around that area. If you set up traps, you'd catch a bunch. It'd be more cost-efficient, everything, you know. But, yeah, it was interesting that they were snipering hogs from a helicopter. And another thing I noticed was abundance of deer in that area. But at nighttime, because I'd left, I can't remember. I was out on the main road when I was leaving because we went to the site of where a bow hunter's body was supposedly found. It had been killed by one of these dog men, and that's where we were staying at. And we had actually heard a howl. They got it on audio. It was like a three-tone howl, and it was farther down. Now, a wolf and coyote will make a two-tone howl. This was a three-tone howl, and it set the coyotes off, but it was farther down the creek, and it was going away from us. So it didn't come actually up close to us, but it was going the opposite direction. But whenever I was leaving, I left in the middle of the night there one night, and as I went out to the road, all the deer, it seemed like, were leaving the forest going out to the main highway. Now, given, of course, you know, they put salt on the road. Sometimes they'll lick the salt off stuff. But this was, I mean, just deer everywhere, all over that road. It's like something had pushed them out, maybe. Maybe they were, once the sun went down, that they're like, uh-uh, we're getting out of the woods. It's dark now. It was really interesting. That whole area is kind of spooky and creepy. You get a weird energy in that area.
Well, that just sounds terribly frightening. And of course, we know there's that legendary dogman encounter by those by that family where they all seem to have vanished. Let's say vanished. And I've got in my book, Look Up in the Sky, Evan Reichert, he gave me an encounter with dogman at his home in Kentucky, where his house was on a cliff about 20 feet high, and then down below it was a marshy area with some caves and everything. And he said he was just kind of sitting around there one Friday afternoon, and he looked down there, and there was a dog man. Dog man didn't like him, and he didn't like the dog man, so he went inside of his house. So, I mean, there's lots of encounters with dog. I don't know, it's in the book, Look Up in the Sky. I think all versions 3.1 up through 3.5 have Evan's story. It's a really good story. So, I mean, there's tons of activity with Dogman up there, and it's just sheerly frightening. But we don't hear, or at least, I don't hear too much about Bigfoot up there because there's so much Dogman activity. I mean, is that something that you kind of agree with, that you probably don't hear as much about Bigfoot up there as you do Dogman?
Yeah, the whole dog man, that's like this whole lifestyle monster hunting. I started out with the Bigfoot thing, and as you go on, you start doing research in these areas and different cases and stuff that are being reported to you, and you're coming across these different beings. And one thing I have noticed, though, is like they say, a lot of people say one area is like dog man territory there, and another part is possibly Bigfoot activity. It's not like they don't like to coexist in the same area. From what I've heard, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, because
right. Well, I've
seen
heard that in some
a Bigfoot
areas,
house and a dogman house and them neighbors, but
and I've heard that in some areas they do coexist, but in many they don't.
Right. Exactly. It's like they have, I believe the dog men are more packs, more territorial. Same way as a Bigfoot is more of a, they work as a unit, a family unit or a clan. And they like, similar to the dog men and stuff, the Bigfoot, though, they travel up and down these waterways is what I've noticed. They travel the waterways, the swamps, the cave systems, and so the dog men, though, it's like they're more aggressive. There's usually more than one. They're not as big as a Bigfoot, but I've heard of different stories too of where, you know, they fight for over the territory and stuff like that. But yeah, they normally, from what I have seen, most of the time they don't coexist in the same area, or if they do, it's like this area is, you know, territorial. They're territorial.
Right. Yeah. So I guess my question for you is, have you ever been fortunate enough to see a dog man and live to tell it? I've never asked
I have
you
that not.
Question.
No, I have not seen a dog man. I was kind of skeptical at first. Whenever I first started hearing about the dog man cases, I thought maybe it was a misidentified Sasquatch or Bigfoot. But as I do more research into it and more cases, I have not encountered one yet. But I believe there's some around the area that I live in, up in Lee County, Virginia. When those, in 2018, those horses were killed. It started out, it was like 20 years before that. It was around 2000, early 2000s. They had a horse at the bottom. They used to rent horses to go up the mountain where I live at there. Well, one of the horses got killed and got ate the, from its front legs to its back legs, ate the whole inside of it. And they said it was some kind of big canine or something. Usually coyotes, though, they usually attack the rear end of an animal. And they usually try and eat that. But this was, you know, from the front legs to the back legs. And, well, it was in 2018 where I got the local vet area up there. And they told me, this girl that works there, her and her mom, the receptionist there, and they let me know whenever there is something strange, you know, they hear of something strange from the DNR, the, you know, the wild, what do you call it, the wildlife people, the control, wildlife control officers.
Yeah, the Department of Natural Resources, DNR, yeah.
Yeah, but whenever they would hear these stories or whatever, you know, they'd let me know. And in 2018, there was a horse that was just slaughtered. It was ripped apart. And I talked to the animal control guy, and he goes around, he picks up stray dogs, stuff like that. And he said he was there at the site, and he was the one that had reported it and written it up. And he'd written it up as a bear attack. But he said there was no bear marks. He said there was no tracks. He said it was a bloody mess. And he said metal fence posts were bent. This was full-size horse just slaughtered. It wasn't ate. It was just killed. And he said he wrote up as a bear attack because he didn't know what else would do that. He had no clue what it was. And then 2 weeks later, another farmer, a mile down the road from that same area that has horses, he had one killed. Now, I tried to go and investigate that kill site, but that old farmer, that old man, he wanted nothing to do with it. He wouldn't let me on there. He said, nope. He said, we don't need people out here. We don't need people out here trying to investigate this stuff. He said, it is what it is. He wouldn't talk about it. He was, you know how some of them old mountain people are. They're just like, they don't want the attention. They don't want nothing to do with it. Just leave. He said, yeah, his horse was killed, but he ain't letting nobody on his property. He's not letting anything happen. He's just setting his ways. But now I had, of course, there's a wildlife preserve right there in that area. Why there is one, I have no clue. I mean, I'm in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains in the middle of nowhere. You know, why they have that there, I have no clue. Now, I had talked to, there was five different witnesses that when I start talking around, these one people said that they had seen on that same road, they didn't see it kill it anything, but they said they had seen an animal, and they said it was bigger than a dog or a wolf or a coyote. It was pretty good size. It stood up over the hood, front hood of their car. But they said its upper body was bulky and its hind legs were smaller than the front. It kind of reminded them of a hyena, but it wasn't a hyena. And they said what really stood out, this thing was super fast, super fast. And then I had other witnesses report the same type of creature in that area. So, and if you've ever seen anything with the dog man, there's a hyena type. This thing, though, they said it was super fast. Just described it just like a hyena type dog man. And these were people that they know the difference between wild boar. They lived their whole life there in the mountains. They've seen bear. They've seen mountain lions. They've seen it all pretty much. But they had no clue what this thing was. They said they never seen anything like it before. Now, if you've ever seen the show Mountain Monsters, they filmed, I believe it was 3 episodes up there in that county. And I thought it was kind of funny because I had actually got a drinking with a couple guys from, if you go to Macro, you'll see on one of my posts, me and, I'm not going to call him out, but is a couple of the cast members that was on that show, they warned me about being up there. They said, you know, of course the show's entertainment, but you get real life reports and stuff, and they said there's a lot of crazy stuff up there. And I told them about the hyena type thing. And this is like 2:30 in the morning. Me and him are both drinking. And you know who tells you the truth more than anything? It's little kids and drunks. So I'm like, I'm going to hit him up for some questions here. And so he goes, there's some wild stuff up there. He said, be very careful. And then he asked me if that hyena type thing had a radio collar on it. And I said, nobody had reported a radio collar. So that makes me wonder, okay, why is there a radio collar? Why would he ask, is there a radio collar on this thing? What does he know that I don't? And he wouldn't elaborate on from that. But they have recently in the past 10 to 15 years put a it's a small miniature airport there. And it's these small cargo planes that come in and out, maybe once a month, twice a month. Why they have it there, I have no clue. They got a chain link fence up around it with wire on the top of it, so you can't get into there. I have no clue why that is even there. What is the purpose of that being there? And then I know that I believe he was a former CIA. I'm trying to find his name. He used to be the MUFON state director of Virginia. Now he started working on the North American Dogman Project. Supposedly he's been doing a lot of research on these dogmen up in that area. Now, in that same area, you get to, which, like I said, I'm in the Cumberland Gap area. You've got Kentucky on one side, Tennessee on the other. In the Kentucky side, I've had reports. They called him Old Three Toes, and this man showed me these tracks, and they were three toes. And he said, "That's Old Three Toes." Devil monkey. If anybody's familiar with devil monkey, they look similar to like a baboon with the snout, the tail. And they leave a three-toed track. And he showed me a picture. He had a picture of this thing that he had caught by this old burnt-down church. And it looked like a German Shepherd head on this being. So I don't know if he had the tracks from the dog man, or if it was a devil monkey. So I think he got a little bit of everything in that area. Now, on the other side, on the Tennessee side, I had a friend. This was a few years ago. They had a horse farm there. It's around Norse Lake, Tennessee there, and Sharp's Chapel. And they had this huge track. Of course, they don't know anything about Bigfoot or any of this other stuff. They sent me a picture, and they said, I've got this, look at the size of these wolves or something down here. And he said it was an 8-inch track. Of course, he didn't put nothing up to it to measure it. And I jokingly, as I was looking at it, it looks like it has a heel on the dog print, the dog pad. It looks like it has a heel, too. And that's one of the characteristics of a possible dog man. But this track, he said it was 8 inches. And so I didn't think a whole lot about it. I was joking around. And I said, sounds like you got a werewolf down there instead of, a big wolf down there, 8-inch track, 8-inch canine track. Well, it was 2 years ago, had this guy start working for me, and he had heard that, you know, I do all the monster hunting and stuff. And he said, He said, check up. He said, I'm going to get my brother-in-law show you this track. But his brother-in-law said that he had seen this werewolf-type thing walking through his driveway. And he had a picture of the track and he had a measurement. The measurement on this track was 8.5 inches. Where he lived at is the same area that my friend that had sent me the picture of that track. So you've got these things all around here, and I believe they're, you know, I think that that's more, they're coming out, more people are talking about it and seeing them. I don't think they were around here a long time ago. I could be wrong, but I think these things are migrating, or they're moving, or they're being, it, like they said with the tracking collar, could be possibly a breeding thing. Somebody could be breeding these things and doing experiments, you know, crossbreeding stuff, trying to play God and create these beasts or these animals. But Sasquatch has always been here. They've always talked about Bigfoot. Way back in when Leif Erikson had come over, you know, they talked about the his run-in with them. So we know that those aren't government-created, but these dogman-type animals, it makes you wonder if they're not crossbreeding something. But then again, you've got some of these things that look like the Egyptian god Anubis, the dog-type god, you know. Maybe there's more to it than what I think, you know. Because a lot of times on the spiritual side of these things, too, you've always got some activity in that area. You'll have high strange events happening. You usually see the UFOs, the lights, and everything else in all these areas as well.
Okay. Well, that just sounds extremely interesting. Now, why don't you tell us, because one thing that I don't think we've ever discussed here on ScaryCast, what is the difference between a werewolf and a dog man?
Supposedly a werewolf is more built like a lot of people think, you know, well, the Rougarou or the werewolf. A werewolf, I don't believe it transforms from like a human shape to a werewolf or what, or, you know, into a wolf, a human transform into a wolf. Not saying that that's, because I've experienced a lot of crazy stuff out there, and I've never put anything, you know, you always got to think outside the box. It could possibly happen. But I believe the werewolf is, they are more alone. They don't run in packs like they're much bigger than the dog man. They usually have like a body of like a muscular big body, and they walk upright and they've got a German Shepherd canine type head. And they have, I believe it's hands where the, dog men are smaller, usually in between 4 to 6 foot tall. Sometimes they say they can get up to 7 foot, and they run in packs. They're more aggressive, and they are more canine shaped. They get down on all fours and run quicker. And basically a werewolf is kind of like a Bigfoot with a canine head. It's from my understanding. Of course, everybody's got their own definition.
All right. Now, Kyler, do you have a question for Matt as we're getting ready to be heading on into the sunset tonight?
I don't think I have a question. I'm just listening to the different monsters and stuff that we keep back or jumping back and forth from. Bill, you're talking about how fast I think it was Dogman that we were talking about. You said that someone had said that they were scared more on the point of how quick and how fast these things were. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, you know what? I'm not surprised, because no matter how big or small anything is, if that thing is quick, it's automatically terrifying. And I don't know why, but, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that was the thing that really stood out. They were trying to figure out what this thing was, but it was so fast. They said it just blew their mind. It was just like a flash. Once this one witness said that it crossed the road in front of them, and it was super fast, And then the one report, they said this thing had stopped in the road as they were coming up on it. They're like, what in the world is this thing out in the road? And then as soon as the headlights was on it and they seen it and it looked at them and then it bolted, they said it was so fast that it just blew their mind. They were like, holy smoke, you know. This thing was like a speedy gun. They just, boom, and was gone. Within, you know, fractions of a second, they said this thing had just, like, bolted. Just, boom, it was gone, out of sight.
Hmm. And do all these, like the Ruguru, the werewolf, and Dogman, do they all have, this is probably a weird question, but do they all have tails? I feel like some don't, some do. I've never actually seen any of them.
I believe the Dogmen have tails. The werewolves, I do not believe they have tails. I am not positive. I'm not positive. But the if you go by a traditional werewolf, they usually don't have tails. But I don't know. I mean, I've never seen one, so I can't say for sure. But they usually say they're kind of like a Bigfoot and they don't have a tail, but they got the canine head, which I believe I've had heard some reports they talked about a tail. So I'm sure, you know, it could be misidentification. It could be, you know, maybe these things do have a tail. Maybe they've seen a Sasquatch that had a snout, like the Gugwee or something, that had more of a protruding snout than what the thing is. Now, I had heard, I haven't researched it yet, but a good friend of mine, Grumpy Bob Wilson, he's a veteran in the research world with me. Well, knowledge. He had posted something about this possibly new breed. This thing looked like a cat face, a lion face that these people had seen, built like a man or a Bigfoot, but had a feline type face, and it had canine teeth. So, I believe you've got so many different species and too many different things. It's hard to, you know, what did they actually see? So you can't pinpoint and say, okay, these only have this. They only have that, you know?
Yeah,
you've probably seen different species. And that's what we run into in the Bigfoot world. You know, a lot of people say, well, Bigfoot's this and that, and then these other people are saying that. I believe you got two different types, two totally different types of species of things, you know? Same way with the canine type, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, Matt, and thanks. By the way, this has been very informative tonight. You told us a lot about Dogman. You told us a lot about Wolfman and about Bigfoot and all that, and it's just been a great show. And as we're on kind of the eve of Georgia Bigfoot Conference, we'll be all heading down there for March the 31st and the VIP festival there. It's going to be a lot of fun, March 31st from 5:30 to 7. And then we'll have the Georgia Bigfoot Conference from 9 to 6 on Saturday. So I hope everybody can come and join us. And Kyler, thank you for being here and being our co-host tonight. We really appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week. We're working on a kind of a really good guest, because next week on Tuesday will be the last Scary Cast before the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We're going to do something extra special. We're working on that. So look, thanks, Matt, for being here with us. And Kyler, thanks for being with us. And then at 10 o'clock, Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero Live. Just stay right here on Scary Cast and click on that box right above us. So Matt, thanks a lot. Come back to see us next week as a co-host.
Thank you.
All right. Kyler, we'll see you next week, okay?
Sounds good. I'll be here.
All right, good. And now everybody better say goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, everyone. Good night.
Y'all have a good one, and we'll see.